on Mitchell's Front Page. Trish from Talking Heads.
Morning, Trish. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you, Mitchell. I'm well.
Yes, it's a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Well, it's gone a little cloudy. I don't want to rain on your parade, but...
You have just a bit.
It's a little bit overcast down here. Awfully nice day, really. I mean, if you think of the alternative.
That's exactly right.
It's actually been quite good because the holiday makers, of which, of course, there are hundreds here at the moment because they've come down to enjoy the seaside, they've had a really good run with weather. It hasn't been too bad at all.
Well, I think this weekend's going to be the pick of it, but I'm planning on going on a bit of a holiday in a couple of weeks, but I'm just waiting for school holidays to finish because I don't want everywhere to be overrun like I'm sure Bowen Heads is at the moment.
It's pretty overrun, but in a nice way. It's lovely to see the shopkeepers all busy and, you know, the hive of activity signals what's to come, which of course is that we're a holiday town and pretty soon the population locally swells to about 5 times its normal size.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But when the shopkeepers are making money, the economy's moving and everyone's happy, aren't they?
Well, they do it tough over winter sometimes. I mean, some of them are fine because they have such unique shops that they do really good online business as well, but it's not, you know, it's never anything like people walking in the door. So, yeah, they're all smiling at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. But tell us about that song that we had on just before that you chose.
Did you like that? Have you heard it before?
No, I haven't. Tell us about it.
Okay, well, with my propensity towards always choosing where I can, choosing Australian music, keeping the money and the thinking in the country because we have such an abundance of amazing local musicians. These are a Melbourne couple called Alice Keith and Simon Nugent. They're songwriters, they're also partners in life, and their music ranges from stark. It's really quite diverse when you look at their albums. Their first album was Dear Departure, and that song, Shiver and Shake, comes off that album. They've recorded in their laundry with Paul Kelly. This is the nature of being a musician. And I first saw them live at the Princess Park Bowling Club at a fundraiser, and I just totally fell in love with their lyrics. So, yeah, it sort of breaks your heart when you listen to their music because just beautiful harmonies, and that's why I chose that one today. And look, the relationship to creativity, which is today's subject, is an obvious one.
Yes, of course. All music is creative in one form. Can some songs be more creative than others?
Some can be, some collaborate. Some people are better on lyrics and other people are better on the chords and the music. They collaborate. Simon Nugent's been in many other bands and this is the first time I've ever seen Alice Keith. I'm sure she's been around a long time. I think that with art, with music, with literature, some people are more talented than others. Some people have got it and some people haven't.
That's right, and I suppose you can't really build it up. You've either got it from birth, have you, or is it done with a bit of fine-tuning?
It's done with a little bit of fine-tuning. Like everything in life, it's what you're exposed to.
Yeah, that's right. And some people just grow up in a really creative household, don't they, where the parents have been musicians and painters, and some people are a bit more sort of, it's more logical, it's one way or the other.
Well, this brings us to... what creativity is, as far as, you know, what is the generally accepted idea of creativity. It's a noun.
Yes.
It's often associated with original ideas, and more particularly in the production of an artwork. But there are many other areas where being creative it really assists us through life and makes life more interesting. You know, cooking. Art is an obvious one because it's visual. Music, because you can hear it. And science and technology, you know, there are a lot of very creative people, people who think and work outside the box. That's where breakthroughs come from, when people walk ahead of the accepted. Landscape gardening, architecture, they're all once again visual expressions of creativity. But where I find I really love watching children, not because they can scribble on a bit of paper when their mother just collapses in hysteria about how clever they are, but children are particularly good because of their beautiful little minds. They're very good at solving problems and solving puzzles using what they have at hand, which because they're children, they haven't been exposed to a lot of life. So they use what they have and they come up with a solution, and you sometimes go, gee, where did you get that from, you know? And it's using the tools they have at hand to solve problems. And sometimes they don't use orthodox means. It's just quite astonishing watching their little brains work.
That's right, and I think that they perhaps haven't learnt the cynicism part of life yet, and that perhaps makes them a little bit more open to trying new things.
That's right, they haven't learned the cynicism. But you've probably studied the left brain, right brain theory.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, the left brain is wired differently. The brain is not two symmetrical halves on each side of the corpus callosum. They are the left brain and there is the right brain, and they are functioning in different ways. Sort of your left brain people are the logic, they look for accuracy, they're analytical, it's the reasoning side, the science side, the control side, whereas the right brain is the quite a different thing. It's all about love and passion and creation and yearning and freedom and peace, and it's that colourful side of your brain, and they both work in harmony. You need one to successfully use the other. And the left brain people often work in industries that are more analytical and, you know, in the finance industry perhaps, and it would be highly unlikely to see someone who is in that type of industry be a really fabulous artist in their private life, because each side of your brain talks to the other, but they do operate quite differently. You know that, don't you?
Well, that's right. But is it possible to be across both, or do you usually find that people are one way or the other?
You can be a little bit of both. I've seen artists who have had amazing structure in their lives, which is all part and parcel of it, because some of the characteristics common that you find in creative people, and I happen to hang out with a lot of creative people, a lot of musicians and a lot of visual artists and people who work on that side of their, you know, use that side of their brain more. But what I notice with them is they often have bursts of intense energy. It's almost like an intense passion when they have their idea, or they have, say for instance, and this can be metaphorical, when they have their canvas, that they just work consistently. I've got a friend who paints, and she becomes obsessed, you know, and she does it way into the wee hours of the morning. And, you know, she learned to paint. It wasn't necessarily in her genes. She learned to paint, and she learned strategies for achieving her goals, which was that once she started, she would just keep going. And then the opposite happens. Once she's finished, she rests intensely for a week or two. So there you go, that polarized one side or the other.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point about when you start, keep going, because they talk about, oh, you've got to get the creative juices flowing, but I don't think you can turn it on or off. And you look at music artists, for example, that will release a successful piece, then, of course, you don't hear from them for a very long time, or they say they're working on the album, but they can't say, oh, I'm going to have a new album done by next Tuesday. If the creative juices aren't there, they're not there, are they?
They're not. And my work involves a lot of creativity, and there are days when I just don't have the tap to turn on. Mm. But creative people also tend to be smart and naive, which once again shows that polarisation. And it has been measured that the most successful creative people have a general intelligence, so around that 100 IQ mark or more. They're often not geniuses, but they're often people with a high IQ.
And the average IQ is 100, is it, or 75? I think it's 100.
Well, I think you'll find 100 is the central.
Yes.
75 is below par.
Yep.
And I won't tell you what mine is, because you'll just won't believe it.
Well, I don't know what mine is, because I'm blissfully...
I had to have mine measured for something once, and it's really quite interesting, because there are different parts to your IQ. You know, there's all kinds of different parts, but, you know, we won't go into that, because 100 is average, and that's where most, and that's because it's been measured, and that's where most people's IQ fall.
Yeah.
In the 100s. So, yeah, creative artists are often average to above average in intelligence. So they're not the airy-fairy creatures that we often think they are. And they know how to combine playfulness and discipline, which is a unique characteristic in a human being. They often have responsibility and irresponsibility, but they know when to do both. And there's no question that a playfully light attitude is typical. The artists that I know how to play. They know how to, they know how to play with words. They know how to be playful.
Mm, yeah, that's exactly right. And it is interesting to watch how they work, and everyone's got their own strategy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And quite often, another one, creative people alternate between their imagination and fantasy and a very strong rooted sense of reality. So there's the polarisation again. Doesn't mean that they have a personality problem. It means they have a unique ability to operate with those two sides of their brain. And I watched this in action once with a friend of mine who's an artist who was applying for a grant through the City of Greater Geelong. Her name's Kaz, and she was applying. I went with her because I was doing the words and she was doing the vision, because that's what we were both good at the time. And she actually painted this word picture for one of the senior art people at the City of Greater Geelong. And it was extraordinary to watch her paint this art picture, because the person she was talking to was a highly creative individual as well. And I was just amazed at her vision, which I was barely able to grasp, is now a reality, because she actually created this amazing arts fence around our local community garden, which has a number of different panels done by different artists, and it really is one of the most beautiful things ever. And watching that go from words on paper
to the
realisation was just an extraordinary thing. But Kaz has that ability, and she works with a lot of children as well. And another artist friend of mine who is highly creative and very successful is Humble and Proud. He's the most extraordinary man. He's able to show humility about his talent and his work, and he's very proud of what he does. If you compliment him, and often he deserves it, you can just see him bask, because they're often a little insecure, because they know they're standing on the shoulders of giants. They know that many, many highly creative people have gone before them. And, they're never that cocky that they can finish a work of art and say, well, that's it. There's me, genius.
But also, I wonder if it's a case of, for example, in the music scene again, if you're only as good as your last ever album or your last ever painting or your last ever sculpture. You know, if you design something and it's a total flop, then, you know, I suppose there's a bit of sort of pressure to keep putting out great work.
There is a lot of pressure to keep putting out great work, but it's pressure on themselves, because, look, I'm quite happy to sit and listen to someone's old music if they want to play it for me. I like original music. I like music that has come out of the heads and the life experience of the people who are singing it. But that's just me. Some people like to listen to covers because it lets them tap their feet, and it's kind of mindless music and they know the words anyway. But I really love watching the creative process that musicians go through. And, yep. You know, if they keep pumping them out, that's fantastic, but it often doesn't work like that.
Mm, yeah, that's exactly right. And there's no formula, is there?
There is no formula to success. And I'll tell you what the best judge is, if people like it. If you go along with all of your gear and you said, we're having a gig at the bowling club, which I'm hosting soon, and there's the most extraordinarily talented woman called Anya Terrell, who's an Irish crazy woman, and she's coming to do a performance. Now, this is how hard they work. She will arrive in the afternoon for setup and sound check. She won't start performing until 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And then after she finishes at 11 o'clock, they then have to pack up their gear and leave. That is a very, very long stretch. And you know why they do it?
Why?
Because the audience love it. And they love the originality, and they clap and they cheer and they dance, and that is the endorsement of their work.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they love, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I've got a really nice saying to finish.
Yes, go ahead.
Imagination is everything, because it's the preview of life's coming attractions, by Albert Einstein.
Exactly. Imagination is where it's at, isn't it?
Well, you know, don't be shy. I say to people, imagination is where it's at.
Yep. No, I agree fully. Thank you so much for your insights once again today. You've got us all thinking, and that's always good.
Yep. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you in a fortnight. Thank you very much, Trish, there from Talking Heads Magazine. Sorry, what was that? Nope.
See you in 2 weeks.
We'll speak to you then. Good on you. I thought Trish had one more thing to add there. But Trish there from Talking Heads Magazine, always a good segment. And, of course, she's with Dennis on a Thursday. Well, we were talking before about the Seniors Festival, which is coming up. And coming up in just a moment, we'll have someone in the studio to tell us all about the happenings of that and the various events that people will want to get their hands on. And you want to make sure that you book for these events as quickly as possible to avoid missing out. So we will cover that after this break on Mitchell's Front Page.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.